You're listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 5720 Ridge Avenue. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m.
Did you ever get into those optical illusions as a kid? Yeah, those pictures where you can either see one thing or another, depending on how you focus. You may have all seen this one before. If you have, don't say anything. What do you see first? If you've never seen it before, what do you see first? A woman? What kind of woman? Describe her. Cruella De Vil. Yes. Does anyone see an old woman? She's there too. Yes, Leslie Caesar. I thought of these illusions this week because of the way that they can demonstrate how both objects are there. Some of you are still looking. There's a young woman with her head turned away. She has like a plume on the top. And then there's an old woman. Her chin is down in the billows of her, maybe her shawl or her fur, or whatever it is she's wearing. You don't see it? That's okay. It's all right. There you go. Yes, that did it. Thank you. If you Google these, there's a lot to look at. And I loved these as a kid. And I thought of these illusions this week because of the way that they can demonstrate how both objects are there, but it takes some looking to discern past your first impression. Or your first instinct, depending on what I said last to you, or your mood maybe, or images that you're already familiar with, you might see one or the other first. Today I want to talk about developing our spiritual eyes to see what Jesus is doing and revealing in the world. There are a lot of teachings in Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, that talk about eyes. The eyes are a good metaphor because they're such an obvious way that we take in the world around us. I don't know about you, but I'm really affected by what I take in visually. It's hard to unsee something that I've seen. Images can stay with me for a long time, both good or bad. So when I'm talking about developing our spiritual eyes, I'm talking about our ability to discern past our first impression or what is on the surface as the immediate. In his letters to the church in Ephesus, Paul said in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Paul was talking to followers of Jesus, people who believed, but he was praying that their eyes, the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened because he knew how easily their hearts could be influenced and they could lose sight of the new reality that Jesus brought into the world. He knew that they needed to be made new in the attitude of their minds. He knew that this heart renewal takes working out. He knew that the eyes and the heart and the mind were all interrelated. So when I talk about eyes today, I'm talking about that relationship between our eyes and our heart and our mind and our ability to see past the surface of something, past our own interpretation, and perceive the new reality that Jesus brought into the world. There are a lot of influences that shape what we see and how we see it. There are so many things that cloud the eyes of our hearts on a cultural level. America seems to be addicted to violence. We glorify it in our entertainment and our media. It's all over the news. Death by gun violence in the U.S. is far beyond other countries. Statistics about our pornography industry in the U.S. is staggering. Research about the effects of screens on our brains is pretty clear. I think we'll be seeing more anxiety and depression and isolation as screen time for the average American increases. If we don't develop spiritual eyes to see, we could end up being blinded by a lot of darkness. In Matthew 6, 22 through 23, Jesus says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light that you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Developing spiritual eyes to see is more than a matter of perspective. It's not just our attitude or our point of view on any given thing. It's much deeper than that. We are not the starting point. If we're followers of Jesus, our life is now based in Christ, which means that our starting point is in Him. Jesus' life and death and resurrection flips everything upside down and gives us a new way to live and new eyes to see the world and ourselves. Our life is now hidden in Christ with God. Jesus is the new starting point. His teachings were all about this new life, this new way that he ushered in. Some of us aren't even sure about who Jesus is, much less our need for him to be the source of our anything. And if that's where you are, I hope that you can listen anyway. Maybe you'll find some hope in being among some Christians who are developing eyes to see that are beyond our own opinions. Jesus said on more than one occasion, "Let those who have eyes see and ears, and those with ears to hear, hear." He was teaching about the kingdom of God often in the form of a parable to illustrate a truth. Many people who heard his teachings couldn't make sense of them. Not everyone was ready to perceive what he was revealing. In Matthew 13, he told a parable, and then he quoted the prophet Isaiah saying, "Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." The healing that Jesus offers starts with a willingness to see what he's doing and to hear what he's saying. So let's look at the parable that he taught to see if we can see ourselves in it. The invitation is not to move into judgment, but into light, so that we can see more clearly. And having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, like Paul prayed, so that we may know the hope to which he has called us. From Matthew 13, verses 3 through 23. "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown." This is a very popular parable you may have heard before. I heard it many times growing up, but the next part less often. The disciples come to him and ask why he teaches in parables. And he says, essentially, they don't have eyes to see. He tells the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." He said many prophets and righteous men had longed to see and hear what they get to see and hear. He was talking about himself. He was right in front of them. "You get me," essentially, is what he was saying. But they still didn't understand his teaching. So he explained it to them. They were ready to receive some understanding. They were going his way with him, albeit faltering at times. And their eyes were being opened to him. Now John's going to read for us.
"Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 to 30 times what was sown."
Thanks, John. The message of the kingdom is being sown in us, the soil, is that we are not condemned to the darkness. We are not swallowed up by death. Jesus himself is the light. He has overcome the darkness and is establishing his kingdom in our hearts. The eyes of our hearts are enlightened to the truth, that the ways of the world have been turned upside down by Jesus. He's our new reference point, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. We can, like the disciples, come to him saying, we don't get it yet. We don't see what's happening here. We need you to help us see. We are turning to you. I've talked with friends this week who are working on eyes to see past themselves and their initial perception. To have eyes to see what the kingdom of God looks like, you have to start with Jesus. When his light shines into dark places, you can see things you may not have seen before. Here's some examples that came up this week. I can relate to all of them, so I'm going to describe them according to myself. When our culture shows me all the ways I can consume, Jesus shows me what really satisfies and frees me from my addiction. When others are demanding and my calendar shows me that I have little time, Jesus shows me that I'm free to respond to his love and organize my life accordingly. Where I see a messy situation that I want to avoid, Jesus shows me an opportunity for love and grace and discipleship. I have to keep looking for Jesus to show for how to see things, and or what was sown in my heart will get snatched away before it ever gets a chance to take root. I have to keep asking Jesus how to relate here among you, or what I've received among you with joy will shrivel up when the hard time comes. When things get hot, what was growing in me is still so shallow that it can't survive. I have to keep working on a life with Jesus, investing the time it takes to weed and tend a garden so that I don't get choked out of this abundant life of the kingdom by letting the cares of the world, which are inevitable, strangle me. So how do we keep developing eyes to see? How do we even know if we're missing it? I think we need, like the disciples, to keep asking Jesus. Prayer is a practice that has to be lived out to be learned. To pray is to change. The great grace of prayer is that an internal shift takes place where we move from thinking of God as part of our life to the realization that we are part of his life, his kingdom, his redemption project. Prayer moves God into the center so that we are not our reference point. When we are bound to our reactions, our moodiness, our limited perceptions, our past and present influences. We need to be able to see how Jesus is moving now, not just react. My cell was talking about prayer this week in the wake of the shooting in Las Vegas and the general dismay that we feel when we see what's going on in the world. We decided that prayer is the way to find our way back home. Study the Bible. Study is a spiritual discipline. The church can't really do your studying for you. Leaders don't provide all of your spiritual food, but our church is designed for people who want to be their fullness. We do provide a lot of resources to use. Hopefully this meeting is the first one you have. Cells. We also have 2 daily prayer sites that include Bible study and meditation as part of the prayer guide. You can sign up for the New Testament overview that we have coming up. You'll hear more about that at the end. Jesus is the lens through which we view the whole Bible. And Jesus was on a mission to redeem the world. He has given us that mission to extend the kingdom of God here on earth. We are part of the family, given a job to do in the family business. Developing eyes to see involves seeing ourselves as part of the whole, with a purpose and a job to do. We are discipled for mission, not just personal growth. You can also study the Bible through our growing collection of resources on our Way of Jesus website. You can ask me at the end, or your cell leader can text you the link. There's so many resources collected there to help you move along in developing. And we need to keep asking each other. Our cells are a great place for this. Test out if your vision is cloudy or if the light that we think we have is actually darkness. Is this from Jesus, this idea I have? Is living this way part of the kingdom of God, or is it bound up in the ways of the world? It's a great question to ask other people. Am I so trained by the culture at my job that I'm imposing that on the church? No wonder the joy is being snatched away. Speak truth to each other in love when something doesn't sound right, when it's layered with a person's stuff. Note that with gentleness and grace. Help each other process, work it out. We have circle counseling for therapy. It's another great place to test out what you're working through. I know these are three simple steps that you've probably heard before, but I think they are basic to this ongoing development of our spiritual eyes, having eyes to see what's really happening in me and in the world around us. And we need each other to help one another in that process.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.